This time, he thought Obi-Wan might not come out of it. Memory after memory, a battering so prolonged and relentless that in the end, he lost track of how many disasters the Jedi was reliving. But the visions ended at last. He had to help Obi-Wan sit up. After that, once he'd cajoled him into drinking a few mouthfuls of Zagula's horrible water, then watched him compose himself into some semblance of calm, he folded his arms tight to his ribs and stared down at the man. "So, the brandy wasn't such a good idea, I'm thinking. Sorry."
"Not your fault," said Obi-Wan, frowning muzzily. "You didn't make me drink it."
He took another mouthful of water, rinsed his mouth, and spat it out.
"So, we're good to go again?
We should go," said Bail, hating the bullying tone of his voice, hating that he had to be this man, poking and prodding and hustling to get his way. But Obi-Wan looked shattered, looked ready to fall asleep again, and they were running out of time.
"Now, Obi-Wan," he added, "and no matter what happens, we have to keep going. We have to get inside that temple and find that Sith holocron and break it into little pieces. And after that, we find a way back home. Because I'll be criffed if I'm going to lie down and die on this rock. I am not giving these Sith the satisfaction."
"Bail."
Obi-Wan wrapped his arms around his shins as though fighting to keep himself from falling apart.
I can't go any closer to that place. I'm not certain how much longer I'll be safe."
"Don't worry. I won't let you hurt yourself."
Obi-Wan smiled very faintly.
"Safe for you to be around, I mean. I fear I might soon become dangerous."
"Oh," Bail thought.
"Well, you can't stay here," he retorted.
"I'm not leaving you behind. You're going to hear that voice and have these visions wherever you are, so you do it wherever I am. At least then I can keep an eye on you."
"Bail."
Obi-Wan dropped his forehead to his knees, hiding his face, hiding his eyes.
"Even I have my limits."
"No, no. They were not giving up now."
"Maybe," Bail said, keeping his voice tough, unsympathetic. "But you haven't reached them yet. You haven't hurt me yet, and I don't believe you will. Besides, I've got your lightsaber. How much harm can you do? Now let's get a move on."
With an effort, Obi-Wan stood.
"If that's your idea of diplomatic bargaining," he said, swaying on his feet, "then I must tell you, your technique leaves a great deal to be desired."
Bail smiled, though he was closer to tears than laughter.
"I'm borrowing a leaf out of Padme's book."
Obi-Wan stared, puzzled, and then shook his head.
"Oh yes, I remember. Anakin told me. Aggressive negotiations. Very droll."
"That's our Padme," he agreed. "The queen of droll. Now come on. We're in the home stretch. We can do this. So let's go."
Closing his eyes, Obi-Wan tipped his colorless face to the empty sky.
"Very well, Bail," he said at last. "We'll do it your way. On one condition."
"That sounds ominous," Bail said, trying for lightness, failing abysmally.
Obi-Wan opened his sunken eyes. Beneath the pain and exhaustion, something fierce and unflinching burned.
"Make sure you keep that lightsaber close. And if you so much as suspect I'm about to turn on you."
"What?" He had to be joking. "That won't happen."
"It might."
"It won't. You are Master Obi-Wan Kenobi."
"Yes, well," said Obi-Wan wryly, so pale, so punished. "Master Kenobi has seen better days."